ago. Just wondering if I left my notes at home. That would be fun. Okay, I think I'm going to take this mic and make it more difficult for you to control. Just need to run off my nervousness here. So, welcome to all the visitors that are here. Good to see you. It'd be even emptier if you weren't here, so glad to see you. So today I've chosen to speak to us about the book of Judges, and more particularly about Samson. And found it interesting that this morning already, as we were doing ABF, the book of Judges got brought up a couple of times, and that was my sign that I was on the right track, see? Basically what I want to do is just look at the life of Samson and see what we can learn. And so before we do that, let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this morning. Thank you for what we've already been able to learn as we were in ABF and how your word teaches us how we ought to live. Pray that you would give us the wherewithal and the wisdom to read your word and to understand it, and then also to live it out. And as we look at Samson's life today, that we could learn the mistakes that he made and that we don't make those same mistakes if we want to have a close fellowship with you. Yeah, just thank you again for this time, and pray that you'd be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so kids, which one of you knows the reason for the Bible? Why do we have the Bible? So you're a Christian already, let's say. Why do you need to read the Bible? Anybody? Milam, you know. Why do we have to read the Bible, or why should we read the Bible? That is correct. We need to learn about God from God's word. And what we need to do is, even in the Old Testament, we need to read the stories of the Bible. That's why they're written down. And we need to look at the story and say, what can I learn from this story? How can I apply this story to my life? And so that's what I want to try to do today with the story of Samson and the book of Judges in general. Now, in Judges, one of the key words or phrases that we find in Judges is everyone did what was right in their own eyes. In other words, whenever there was a judge, then the people followed the judge, and that judge would kind of lead them towards God. But then when that judge died, then the people would turn to their own way again, and they would disobey, and each person basically doing what felt right to them, what they wanted to do. And I thought it was kind of appropriate because when you look into society today, into our world, and we hear the very similar things in the news or in public schools or in general, we hear about, well, you can't tell me what to do, this is right for me, this is my truth, right? And stuff like that you hear all the time. And if you listen to radio broadcasts or you listen to YouTube videos, you'll hear things like that. And so what it boils down to is that our society is getting to a similar place, I believe, as what we were in the book of Judges, where we need to turn back to God. We are, a lot of people are living however they want, right? And they're not listening to the word of God and actually questioning the word of God, whether that's the absolute truth, right? And so in the 13th chapter of Judges, we have the story of Samson. So if you want to turn with me there. It'll start with that phrase exactly. So Judges chapter 13. I won't be giving you anything profound today, no, not in-depth theology, but just basically talking about a story in the Bible. That's what I want to do today. So Judges chapter 13, the birth of Samson is the heading. So the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. See, The Lord didn't plan this. He didn't say, well, you know what, we're going to give those people over to the Philistines for 40 years. He had instructed them, if you do this, if you follow, if you obey, you will prosper. You will have peace. And also, if you disobey, there will be consequences. And that's kind of the theme of what I want to say, is that in Samson's life, we see consequences. And in the book of Judges in general, we see consequences. And it was choices of the people that brought about these consequences. God had given them a principle to follow. And when they did right, they had peace. And when they did wrong, they had consequences. So the people did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. So there was a certain man of Zorah of the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, behold, you are barren and have not borne children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Therefore be careful and drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And so God chose this Samson as an instrument for him. He wanted to use Samson's life to fulfill his purposes, right? And that's, again, for each one of us. He wants to use our lives to fulfill his purposes, right? God does. And so here, there's a child wasn't born yet, but God already knew his life, what it would be, right? And so he wanted to use that Samson's life for his purposes. And again, I had Andrew read Numbers chapter 6 because of the Nazarite vow, right? So basically, this Samson wasn't to drink strong drink or even have a razor on his head, right? So that was the way they did it back then. And then when they made a vow, and so when they're consecrated or dedicated to the Lord, and so that's what God called Samson to be, right? So, but here's a family that hasn't had any children, and now God says, you're going to have this son. Then the woman came and told her husband about this, that she was supposed to have a son. A man of God came to me, she says, and his appearance was like the appearance of the angel of God. Very awesome. I did not ask him where he was from, and he did not tell me his name. But he said to me, behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, so then drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come again to us and teach us what we are to do with the child who will be born. So what we see here is that Samson was raised by a godly family. When this angel of the Lord came to him, to his wife, he prays, please come back and tell us how we ought to raise this child. Give us instructions. We want to follow your instructions, right? And we have our instructions right here in the Bible of how we ought to live. They didn't have the completed Bible back then, right? And so God instructed them, and he wanted to know, he wanted to obey. And so we see that Samson had godly parents who prayed about raising him right. And that's, again, a lesson for us. We ought to pray over our kids, for our kids, and seek to raise them according to the Scriptures, according to God's Word. And we ought to teach them there are absolutes. There is absolute truth. There is absolute right and wrong. And not allow that virus of thinking that everyone can do what's right in their own eyes, right? So Manoah prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to the Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come again to us and teach us what we must do with the child who will be born. And God listened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again to the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. So the woman ran quickly and told her husband, behold, the man who came to me the other day has appeared to me. And Manoah rose and went after his wife and came to the man and said to him, are you the one who spoke to this woman? And he said, I am. And Manoah said, now when your words come true, what is to be the child's manner of life? How are we to raise him? What is his mission? And again, what is our mission? What is your mission? Each individual here has a mission. And I often hear people say, well, I don't know, I'm kind of waiting on the Lord. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life yet. So they wait their whole life. Life passes them by and they don't know what God wants from their life. And it's very clear in Scripture that God wants each of us in our sphere of influence, your friends, your family, your workplace. He wants us to live for him there. That's your mission. That's each and every one of our mission. We don't need to wonder, what's God's mission for me? If God wants you on any other special mission, he will let you know. But other than that, you know exactly, every one of us knows exactly what God's mission is for us. And that's to live upright, to live for him, to read the scriptures and obey, and to raise our children for the Lord. We know exactly what we need to do. And it's all found in his word, the word that he wrote to us. And so when Milam says it's to show us how to live, yeah, that's exactly. So what is his mission? Manoah wants to know. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, of all that I said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat of anything that comes from the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink or eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. Obedience, right? Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, please let us detain you and prepare a young goat for you. And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, if you detain me, I will not eat of your food. But if you prepare a burnt offering, then offer it to the Lord. So Manoah did not know that this was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, what is your name? So that when your words come true, we may honor you. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why do you ask my name? Seeing that it is too wonderful for you. So this guy's name that came to them was Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, right? I mean, that's where your mind should be going, right? And when he says, are you the man that came to us? He says, I am. And what does he say to Moses when Moses says, what should I tell the people? Who is this person that sent me to you to deliver you from the Egyptians? He says, you tell them, I am sent you, right? And so, again, this is Jesus himself. This is a theophany. This is God appearing to them. And so that's what he says his name is. It's Wonderful. So verse 19, so Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it on the rock to the Lord, to the one who works wonders. And Manoah and his wife were watching. And when the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord went up in the flame of the altar. Pretty cool, eh? See this in a movie, but you don't see it in real life. Well, these guys got to see it in real life, right? Fire is burning, your campfire is burning, and the angel of the Lord goes up in the fire, in the smoke, right? Pretty cool. Yeah, so now Manoah and his wife were watching, and they fell on their faces to the ground. They realized who this was, right? So the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was the angel of the Lord, and Manoah said to his wife, oh no, look, we're surely going to die, for we have seen God. See, there's a passage that says no one can see God and live, right? But see, this was Jesus Christ, and lots of people saw Jesus Christ, right? The Son of God. Right? And lived. But his wife said to him, if the Lord had meant to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering at our hands, or shown us all these things, or now announced to us such things as these. And the woman bore a son and called his name Samson, and the young man grew, and the Lord blessed him. So the Lord blesses each one of us, right, with a mission. Our mission is to represent him, to be his ambassadors. Right? And that's what Samson was to do as well. But Samson doesn't do so well, as we're going to read. And again, we could do some introspection in our own lives and see where we need to do better, right? As we read the story of Samson here. So it says, one day Samson went down to Timnah. So he's grown up, obviously. And so that's verse four, or chapter 14. Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. And then he came up and told his father and mother, "I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." Pretty impulsive, right? But his father and mother said, "No, is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives or among our people that you must go to take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" See, the rules were, in Samson's day, was that you stayed within your people. You stayed within the Israelite community, right? And they had 12 tribes. There's tons of people you could have chosen from. But Samson decided, no, that one looks good to me. I'm going to have her. Get her for me. He wasn't interested in what the Lord wanted or what his parents wanted, right? And so his parents discouraged him from that. And that, again, we'll see the results of that. And it's just a challenge to the kids here and to the older kids especially. When you choose a wife or when you choose someone that you want to be with, your parents might have some advice or some wisdom in that, and you ought to listen and read the scriptures and find someone that is going to build you up, not tear you down. Someone who's going to strengthen your faith, not decrease it or bring you into bondage, right? So his father and mother, they did not want him to do this, right? So verse 5, then Samson went down with his father and mother again at a later date, because he had said, get her for me, right? And so they came to the vineyards of Timnah, and behold, a young lion came toward him roaring. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and although he had nothing in his hand, he tore the lion in pieces as one tears a young goat. But he did not tell his father and mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with a woman, and with that woman, the one that he said, get her for me, and she was right in his eyes. So in other words, he thought she looked pretty good. So after those days, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. So again, these are different times when he goes to see that woman, right? The first time he tears the lion apart and doesn't tell his parents. And second time, now he's walking past the same place, and he says, hey, I'm going to walk on over and see what happened with that lion that I tore apart, right? And so he walks off to the side, and he sees, oh, look at that. A bunch of bees have built a nest, have built a beehive in the carcass of the lion. And so what does he know about his vow? A Nazarite vow says, don't touch any unclean thing. And he knows that, right? And don't drink strong drink. And he knows that. But what does he do? Oh, look at that. There's honey. So he reaches in, grabs some honey, and eats some honey. And he gives some to his parents, right? And so clearly this wasn't what he was supposed to be doing, right? But so it says here, he scraped it into it out and into his hand, and he went eating as he went, as he walked. And he came to his father and mother and gave some to them, and they ate. But he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey from the carcass of the lion. So question, how often do we take honey in a figurative way? We take something that we shouldn't. With our eyes, for example, we look at something we shouldn't. We read a book we shouldn't. We watch a movie we shouldn't. Just for a little honey, right? And that's, again, what I took from this, what we can learn from the story of Samson, is that we defile ourselves when we do that. And so we ought to think about these things. These stories in the Bible are there for us to learn how we ought to live, how we ought to be able to keep ourselves pure and clean, right? And God has given us instructions as to how to do that. So carrying on here, his father went down to the woman, and Samson prepared a feast there, for so the young men used to do in his time. As soon as the people saw him, they brought 30 companions to him. And Samson said to them, let me now put a riddle to you. Let me tell you about my conquests. That's, again, let me tell you about, yeah, my conquests, right? And I'm going to put a riddle to you. So he says to them, let me put a riddle to you. If you can tell me what it is, within the 7 days of the feast. So they're partying for 7 days. Well, wait a minute. Samson's not supposed to be partying. He's not supposed to be drinking strong drink. But here he's suggestion is that he probably is, right? And so he's partying there for 7 days, and if at the end of 7 days someone can tell him the answer to his riddle, then guess what? I'll give 30 change of clothes to whoever can tell me the riddle. But if you cannot tell me what it is, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. And they said to him, hey, put your riddle to me that I may hear it. And he said to them, out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet. See, so he's making a riddle, a joke out of the very thing that defiled him, which is this honey and this lion, right? In the carcass of a lion. And so he's making fun of it in that sense, making a riddle out of it. See, so he says, in 3 days they could not solve the riddle. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband to tell us what the riddle is, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us here to impoverish us? And Samson's wife wept over him and said, you only hate me. You do not love me. You have put a riddle to my people, and you have not told me what it is. And he said to her, behold, I haven't even told my father and mother. And shall I tell you? But she continued to weep. Verse 17, she wept before him the 7 days that their feast lasted, and on the seventh day, Samson couldn't handle it anymore. Should have hung in there one more day, right? It's kind of how it is sometimes with us. We, right at the peak, when it's just about over, then we give in, right? If we just stick it out, stick in there and hang in there a little bit longer. Another lesson we can learn from this. So she wept before him the 7 days that the feast lasted, and on the seventh day he told her, because she pressed him hard. Then she told the riddle to her people, and the men of the city said to him on the seventh day before the sun went down, oh, look at this, we figured it out. What is sweeter than honey, and what is stronger than a lion? Ooh, sounds like they're real smart, right? And he said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle. So it's kind of a nasty thing to say, eh? But this is the Bible. When the Bible talks to us and the stories that we find there, we are not to emulate the stories. We're not to go and be like the stories. We're supposed to take the stories that are in the Bible and learn the lesson from the stories so that we don't make the same mistake. See, often people think, well, that's the Old Testament. That doesn't apply to me. Well, we can learn that the story isn't written to me. I'm not Samson, but the story is written and preserved so that I can read the story of Samson and I can say, whoa, I better not do something like that because Samson doesn't end up in a good place, right? And that's the same thing with our life experiences. When we touch a hot stove, right? Milam, did you do that when you were a kid? No? No? So mom says, don't touch the hot stove. That's going to hurt you. You do it anyway, right? So you realize very quickly, that probably something I shouldn't do again, right? And so we learn from things that happen to us. We're supposed to learn from things that happen to other people so that we don't have those same experiences ourselves. If we don't learn the things from other people, we're going to experience them ourselves. So I could either learn from somebody else's pain or I can experience the pain myself, right? And that's kind of the whole idea with the scriptures and the whole idea with history, our own history, our own experiences in life. Learn from the bad things that happened to you and don't do them again, right? But Samson wasn't very good at that. So Samson had promised 30 changes of clothes for these people, right, if they found out his riddle. Well, his wife told him the riddle, and so they knew found out the riddle. So now Samson was on the hook for the 30 sets of clothes, right? So the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and struck down 30 men of the town and took their spoil and gave the garments from those men to the men who explained the riddle. See, and again, God is going to use Samson's life. He's decided to use Samson's life. But that doesn't mean that God wanted Samson to do exactly what he did. God wanted Samson to learn the lesson and to ask him, to pray to him, like his parents had. But here now, Samson is doing things his own way. He goes and kills 30 Philistines and gives their garments to these guys who explain the riddle to him, right? Well, that's not what the Philistines had in mind, was it? They thought he was going to go to his home or whatever and go get 30 brand new garments. But that's not what he did. And that was the reason God raised up Samson, was to start to deliver Israel from their oppressors, who were those the Philistines, exactly, right? The Philistines were the oppressors of the Israelites, and God wanted to release them from that oppression. And so he used Samson's life, even as imperfect as what it was. He used Samson's life to begin to do that, to begin to be a thorn in the side of the Philistines, and so that the Israelites would have more freedom, right? But if Samson had done things God's way, probably would have happened that way. But as it turned out, many times when Samson did something, it only brought trouble to other people. And we're talking about this in the ABF too. Like, we all have free choice, and when we choose wrong, it brings trouble to other people sometimes, right? And then we can learn from that, or we can go into the same situation, right? So yeah, Samson defeats those 30 people and gives the garments to those who had told the riddle. In hot anger, he went back to his father's house. So he leaves his bride. Just got married, drops his wife, and runs back home. He's ticked, right? And so in his anger, he went back to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to his companion, to his best man. Can you imagine that, right? You think you've heard messed up stories? Well, here's one, right? And yet God uses this guy. And so, again, that gives me hope, because that means God could probably use me in some way. He could probably use you. He could use each one of us if he can use Samson, right? But we get to choose whether we're going to be obedient to God and seek how he wants to use our lives, or are we going to go and do things our own way like Samson did and suffer a ton of consequences, suffer a ton of pain and sorrow, and bring a bunch of pain and sorrow to other people as well. Similar to Pharaoh, right? Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, who is God that I should listen to him? And so God wanted to use Pharaoh. Pharaoh could have chosen to be an instrument for good and let the people go and whatever, right? But he chose, no. God says, I'm going to use that anyway. I'm going to take your life and I'm going to make it an example. Don't ever be like Pharaoh, because you're going to lose your whole entire army. You're going to have darkness. You're going to have plagues. That's he uses that story throughout Old Testament about how he redeemed them from Pharaoh, from the 400 years of slavery and all that, right? He uses Pharaoh's example throughout Scripture. And so how do we want to be remembered? Like Pharaoh? Like Samson? Or do we want to be remembered like Joseph, for example? God also wanted to use Joseph. He brought him to Egypt. And his brothers sold him into slavery and wanted to do evil to him, but because Joseph allowed and had a good attitude about it, God used it for good, right? And now we have a good remembrance about Joseph, whereas with Samson we don't, with Pharaoh we don't, with a bunch of other people we don't, right? How do you want to be remembered? Again, a lesson we can take from the story of Samson, right? Okay, after those days, chapter 15, at the time of the wheat harvest, so Samson's ticked, right? His choices resulted in bad things happening to him. And now he just gets more angry. So after some days, at the time of wheat harvest, Samson went to visit his wife with a young goat. And that was the custom back then. You brought a goat. And apparently there's even marriage arrangements in those days where you would just go get married to someone. She stayed in her father's house, and he would just come and visit every once in a while and bring a gift, right? And that's kind of the arrangement that's happened here, or that he thought was happening here. He would just bugger off, and he'd come home whenever he wanted, right? And, you know, bring a gift. So he said, I will go in to my wife in the chamber. But her father would not allow him to go in, and her father said, I really thought that you utterly hated her, because look, he ran off. He ran off home to his family, right? And so her father thought, this is over. He's abandoned her. So I thought you utterly hated her, so I gave her to your companion, your best man. Is not her younger sister more beautiful than she? Please take her. See, this is everyone doing what's right in their own eyes. That's what happens in society when everyone does what they want to do and whatever they think is right. There's no absolute boundaries or truth, right? And so he wants to give her younger sister to Samson, and he says no. And Samson said to them, this time, see, Samson had done a number of other things to the Philistines already to be a thorn in their side, but now he's saying, this time I shall be innocent in regards to the Philistines. I'm going to have reason for my wrath or for my making trouble for them. So this time I shall be innocent in regards to the Philistines when I do them harm. So Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took torches, and he turned them tail to tail and put a torch between each pair of tails. And when he set fire to the torches, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines. Like, what's up with that? What's up with that? Like, isn't there a better way to deal with situations? Like, is this how God wanted him to be? Surely not, right? He wanted him to release or to redeem Israel from their oppression, but not necessarily this way. But he gave him free choice. So Samson comes up with this plan. You know what? I'm going to do to you like you did to me, right? And so he caught 300 foxes, torched the grain fields of the Philistines. Oh, so now the Philistines probably learned their lesson, right? Doesn't sound like it to me. Then the Philistines said, who has done this? And they said, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, because you have taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. Well, we're solving a lot of problems here, aren't we? Right? Like, this is, again, are we going to do like this, or are we going to learn from it and not be like that? That's the choice we have, right, when we read the story of Samson. So, yeah, he did this because he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire, and Samson said to them, see, now he's angry again, because it's just a back and forth, right? You do me, I do you, then I do you worse, and you do me worse. And isn't that exactly the attitude we often have, right? And there's no stopping. Somebody's going to die eventually if we continue that, right? It's exactly what happens. And Samson said to them, if this is what you do, I swear I will be avenged on you. And after that, I'll quit. And he struck them with a great blow, and he went down and stayed in the cleft of the rock at Etam. So, I think, okay, Samson quit. Everything's good. But guess what? Last thing he did was against somebody else, right? So what's that person want to do? The Philistines came. Sorry, hang on here. I think I messed myself up here. Yeah. So then the Philistines came up and encamped in Judah and made a raid on Lehi, on a Jewish town. So now Samson's gone, he's hidden, but now the Philistines figure, well, you know what, we're going to go attack the Israelites. And the men of Judah said, why have you come against us? Hey, we're your servants already. Why are you coming to fight against us? What did we do? We didn't do you anything wrong, the Israelites are saying to these Philistine people. But they're camped against them in war, right? And they said, we have come up to bind Samson, to do to him as he did to us. See? Back and forth, back and forth. Do to him as he did to us, right? Bible says, do unto others as you would have them do to you, rather than do unto them like they did to you, right? So it's, again, contrary. So they said, we've come to bind Samson to do to him as he did to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to where Samson was hiding and to talk with him and to bring him back. They say to him, do you not know that the Philistines are rulers over us? Why are you making this all this trouble for us? These Philistines are rulers over us. You can't just go and do whatever you want, right? It's going to cause trouble for other people. It's exactly the point. You and I can't just go do whatever we want, because we're going to bring trouble to our families, to ourselves, to people we don't even know, right? And that's exactly what Samson did, because his own selfish interests, right? Only thinking about himself. Yet the world will have you say, you know, have you think, you need to think about yourself for a change. You know, quit thinking about others. Just do what's right for yourself. That's their teaching. So as they said, we have come, those 3,000 men of Judah. These are Israelites now. They've come to go tie up Samson, to give him to the Philistines so the Philistines won't make war against them. Right? Let's tie up Samson, hand Samson over to the Philistines. Hopefully we have peace. Right? We'll be enslaved to them. That's okay. We've dealt with that already. But at least we won't die, right? And Samson said to them, swear to me that you will not attack me yourselves, because these are Israelites, and Samson's an Israelite, right? So just tell me that you won't kill me yourself, and I'll go with you. So they said to him, no, we will only bind you and give you into their hands. We will surely not kill you. So they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. And when they paraded him into Lehi, the Philistines came shouting to meet him. Then the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became as flax that has caught fire, and his bonds melted off his hands. And he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey and put out his hand and took it, and with it struck 1,000 men. So again, God used the situation. Probably not the way he would have wanted it, but he used the situation to show the Philistines, you need to stop oppressing these Israelites, right? And at the same time, he's trying to teach Samson a lesson and teach the Israelites a lesson. Trust me, you can. I'll take care of you, right? As soon as he had finished, he threw away the jawbone out of his hand, and that place was called Ramath-Lehi, and he was very thirsty. So again, he just accomplished this big feat, and God allows him to become weak very quickly because he's thirsty. He's killed 1,000 people, right? And so he's thirsty. And so he can hardly move on. But then what does he do? Does he repent? Does he say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, brought all this trouble on these people? No, doesn't. He says to God, he called upon the Lord and said, you have granted me this great salvation by the hand of your servant, and shall I now die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised? And God split open the hollow place that is in Lehi, and water came out from it, and when he drank, his spirit returned, and he revived. Therefore the name of it was called En Hakore. It is at Lehi to this day, like when the judges were written, right? And those days the Philistines, hang on, and he judged Israel in those days for 20 years, right? Samson did. Another story. How are we for time? Hang on, I can't see time on my... Anybody tell me what the time is? 12:10, oh boy, I'm going to have to rush here. So anyway, so Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw another woman. He had a problem with this, right? And so again, do we ask ourselves a question on that? And he went to her, and the Gazites were told, Samson has come to town. And they surrounded the place and set an ambush for him all night at the gate of the city, and they kept quiet all night, saying, let us wait till light of the morning and we'll kill him. But Samson lay down till midnight, and then at midnight he arose and took hold of the doors of the city. You guys want to keep me locked in here? Meh. I'm going to take those doors and I'll carry them up that hill way over there, and I'm going to laugh at you. That's going to solve a lot of problems. Took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and two posts and pulled them up, bar and all, and put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that is in front of Hebron. After this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek. Oh, another woman, huh? And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, seduce him and see where his great strength lies. And you guys all know the story about him playing with fire, right? Him saying, getting closer and closer to telling her the secret, right? Until finally he tells her the secret, and she tells the Philistines, and the Philistines come, and they poke out his eyes. This is the guy that was supposed to be dedicated to the Lord. You and I are supposed to be dedicated to the Lord in everything that we do, how we live our life, how we live in our homes, how we live in our workplaces. We don't have to wait for a voice from the Lord saying, hey, I want you to do this. No, we know what he wants us to do, as I said earlier. And supposed to be dedicated to the Lord. And so he tells her the secret. Was his strength in his hair, by the way? No, that was just one of the signs of his Nazirite vow. And when he just, he defiled himself with a dead carcass, he went to drink wine. Now he's even told him about the hair that wasn't supposed to be cut. And God says, enough is enough. When God deals with people, he gives them grace and mercy for a long, long time. Years, 120 years for Noah's people, right? 400 years for the people of the Canaanites before the Israelites took them over, right? Grace upon grace, right? But finally, he says, enough is enough. So when Samson told her about the hair, that's when God took his strength away. So let's keep reading a little bit further. Try to close here soon. So basically, Delilah finally found the truth. He lies to her three times. Finally, he tells her the truth about his hair, and then she goes and she tells the Philistines, he told me all his heart. A razor has never come upon his head, right? And so she gets the people to come one more time to take over Samson, and they poke out his eyes. And let's keep going here a little bit. Verse 23. Now the lords of the Philistines. So they've taken Samson away. Useless now, right? Useless for the Lord. Samson was supposed to bring glory to God. And yet the Philistines poked out his eyes, take him to their grinding mill, and now he's running around in circles. Running around in circles, grinding mill. Like meal. Right? Like an animal. Blind, lost all his usefulness because he couldn't deal with his sin, right? Now the lords of the Philistines gathered to offer a great sacrifice to who? Not to the Lord, to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice. And they said, our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hand. And when the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, our God has given our enemy into our hand, the ravager of our country who has killed many of us. And when their hearts were merry, they said, hey, call Samson that he may entertain us. So they called Samson out of the prison, and he entertained them, and they made him stand between the pillars. And Samson said to the young man who held him by the hand, maybe let me feel those pillars. Let me feel those pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them. Now the house was full of men and women, all watching him perform. Don't know what. But they were there. He was supposed to entertain them. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may be avenged on the Philistines for my two eyes. Did Samson say, sorry, Lord, I really messed up. I got my eyes poked out because I didn't listen to you. Nope, he did not. He said, let me avenge myself of my two eyes. And God works through humans, so God allowed it. So Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and he leaned his weight against them, his right hand on the one and his left on the other. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And then he bowed with all his strength, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than the ones who he killed when he was alive. And then his brothers and all his family came and down and took him and brought him up and buried him. He judged Israel for 20 years. Pretty sad ending, right? What's your life going to be like? What's your ending? So Samson illustrates to us a people who have power to conquer others, but they cannot conquer themselves, right? Samson had power to conquer others, but he couldn't conquer himself. Let that not be said about us, right? He set the Philistines' fields on fire, but could not control the fires in his own lust. He killed a lion, but would not put to death the passions of the flesh, one woman after the other. He could easily break the bonds that men put on him, but the shackles of sin gradually grew in his heart. Instead of leading the nation, he preferred to work independently. And as a result, he left no permanent victory. As soon as he died, they're in the same boat again. The Israelites weren't released. So he was remembered for what he destroyed. How do we want to be remembered? For things that we built up, for people that we came alongside and built up, rather than people we told where to go and how to get there. Right? So he lacked discipline and direction, and without these, his strength could accomplish little. He failed to check the impulses that began early in his life, and this is where I'm talking to the young people. Check the impulses that are early in your life. Control them. If you don't control them, they'll control you. You'll be enslaved. You may end up dying, like Samson. So he failed to check his impulses that began early in his life, and 20 years later, they killed him. His impulses killed him. The people killed him because of his impulses. So it remained for Samuel, old man Samuel, in later years, did more with one prayer than Samson did in his entire life, as far as redeeming the Israelites goes. Samuel, by one prayer, accomplished more than Samson did in 20 years of fighting. This you can find in 1 Samuel 7, verse 9 to 14. So question is, how do we want to be remembered? How do you want to die? How do I want to die? We all have the scriptures. We all know. We have free access to it. We can read it every day. We can learn from it. We can implement it into our lives. When something comes up, we can say, okay, now how do I handle this situation? Do I do what I want, my impulses, or do I do what I know is right, what God says? And it'll make a tremendous difference in your life. Your life isn't going to be perfect or isn't going to be necessarily easy, but you'll have peace in your heart knowing you did the right thing, right? And people around you will remember you for your generosity, for your helping hand, for your this, for your that, instead of, oh, that guy, he's the guy who killed 3,000 people and he died in the thing himself, right? But one more thing. So we think this guy can't be a Christian, this Samson, right? Saul, he fell on his own sword, can't be a Christian. Lot, all the nasty stuff he did, can't be a Christian. You can be a Christian and be doing those nasty things, but it's not going to be good for you. That's the point. That's the Bible, what the Bible is telling us. Learn from these stories and don't behave like that. If you want peace in your heart, fellowship with God, then obey. And you'll have much better life, inward life, right? So that's what I took from the story of Samson. Hopefully you guys all learned something from that and something you can take home, and hopefully not just take home, but implement into your lives. When you read the Bible, see what you can learn. Realize that the Bible isn't written to you. God didn't say, hey, you're the Nazarite. No, he said, learn from this Nazarite. Right? Don't do like what he did. And then in other places, it's, okay, do what this guy did. That led down a good path, right? So we have the path that we ought to walk. Let's pray. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this morning. Thank you for the story of Samson. And Lord, as tragic as what it is, you left it there for a purpose in the scriptures for us to read. And often we don't understand, you know, what's it supposed to do for me? But Lord, help us to understand that all of scripture is written for us. It's not all written to us directly, but it's written for us to learn from, so that we don't make those same mistakes. And Lord, help us to learn the lesson that we ought to learn and to go away and implement good things. Yeah, just help us to be your light and your salt in our workplaces and in our schools, and help us to know how to deal with this COVID thing and just with all of our life circumstances, that we'd look to you for guidance and we'd look to the scriptures. Every one of us has access to the scriptures. We have no excuse. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Henry would say, love God, love people.